Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
In this March 29th edition of the podcast, we see the NFL expand the number of games, a coach steps down, a team renames itself, and we have some great Hall of Famers to talk about, all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from the Pigpen on America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Gene and Mike Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the great tunes, let's go no huddle through today's top stories of American football history.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to your football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers for this March 29th edition. And the March 29th edition has a story about a particular player, which we're going to get to in a second, Earl Campbell. It just brings back a great memory for me as a kid. Well, I don't know if it was a great memory, but it's a memory. And my father and his buddies got some tickets in Cleveland, which was only about 100 miles from us, to go and watch the Cleveland Browns play the Houston Oilers in 1978 with their rookie sensation Earl Campbell as running back. And, you know, we were Pittsburgh Steelers fans, but my dad's friends, they were Browns fans. And we said, hey, we get the opportunity to go to a pro football game and see this young rookie coming out who's got the, you know, thighs like tree trunks. You know, we definitely want to go see that. So we go there. I had just started playing fifth grade football. It was my first year to be eligible to play football. Got a couple games in, got into a couple of those games too, and was so excited to finally be on a team and playing football. You know, it was just a great opportunity for me, and then I get to go see a professional game in the midst of that. So we go to the game, watch Campbell. I don't remember who won or lost there at Cleveland Municipal Stadium, but I remember they had the giant concrete poles that we were up in the upper level and trying to look around those at certain points of the field. That wasn't a great spectator event for me, but it's still a memorable event because I remember those things very vividly, those big cement poles. But you know, the game went on. We got done with it. We go back to our friend's house who live in the Cleveland area, and they had, you know, some dinner and stuff served for us. So a bunch of us, you know, went to the game, the kids and the adults both, the fathers. We go out in the yard, and we're throwing the old football around, and we decide, hey, let's play a game of two-hand tag. Well, my father was on the other side of the team, and one of the first plays, touch him down with two-hand tag, and he's much bigger than me. I get in front of him, hit him with two hands, and he abruptly slips, falls right on top of me, and I break my wrist. So I miss my first year of playing football with the team in the fifth grade the rest of that season. And it was just kind of a bummer, and had to be really patient and everything. And patience is what I really learned with that, you know, being so excited for so long to play football and then having to wait a year. But I made the most of my sixth grade year and seventh and eighth grade too, and on playing ball and having a great time doing it. And so just sometimes you got to have that patience, and as a kid it's really difficult to do. But I'd like to get now to your football history headlines, because March 29th is filled with them, and it starts off in 2004 when the NFL announced that the 2003 regular season paid attendance of 16,913,584 for an average of 66,328 per game were both all-time records. We know from a couple days ago that was shattered and went over to the 20 million mark. March 29th, 1977, the NFL adopted the 16-game regular season and 4-game preseason schedule format that began in the 1978 season. The new CBA passed this past year in 2020 voted to adopt a 17-game regular season. We'll have to see how that one shakes out. And when I get some overseas games in, I believe, as one of the home games. March 29, 1994. Coach Jimmy Johnson resigns as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Johnson left the Cowboys because of a feud with owner Jerry Jones. Johnson coached five seasons in Dallas and made the playoffs in each of his last three seasons and walked away from the Cowboys after winning back-to-back Super Bowls with Super Bowl 27 and Super Bowl 28. Johnson went on to be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins from 1996 to 1999 after taking a two-year hiatus from the coaching ranks. And now we know he's on one of the talk shows for the pregames for the NFL, and he's got some great insight as being a former coach of a couple different teams and a Super Bowl winning teams, and he was a great college coach too at the Miami University. March 29th, 1996, the Cleveland Browns choose a new name, the Baltimore Ravens. Owner Art Modell decided to move the franchise out of the city of Cleveland, but one of the conditions of the move was that the Browns' name, logo, and records must stay in Cleveland, and his new team would have to take on a new identity. And we know a few years later, 1999, the Cleveland Browns resurrected as a new franchise and got to adopt those old colors, the logo, and the Browns' name, as well as all the previous records done in Cleveland Browns gear. Now let's get to some birthdays of Hall of Famers. Our first one's an interesting story. It starts out with the Defiance High School football season. It just concluded another season in 1921. And Don, who is now a senior, had just witnessed another year where he got to substitute in for one of his teammates at the end of a one-sided game. The scrawny lad did his best, but his size and speed were not to the measure of his peers. After graduation, Don headed to South Bend, Indiana to attend Notre Dame. He decided, despite the opinions of everybody he knew, to try out for the varsity football team in his sophomore year. You know, after all, he had not played very much in high school. He was mainly a substitute and got to play only in the big washout games. Even the Irish's head coach, Newt Rockne, looked at the 5'11", 160-pound sophomore with a bit of surprise that he would be trying out for his team. You know, after all, this was Notre Dame. But Don, through hard work, hustle, and smart play, was destined for greatness as the workhorse runner in the famed four-horseman backfield of Notre Dame's immortal 1924 national championship team, according to the National Football Foundation. Don Miller was born on March 29, 1902 in Defiance, Ohio, and served as one of the halfbacks from the 1922 to 1924 seasons for the Irish. Miller's legendary coach said about him, "With his fleetness and daring, he quickly sized up as a halfback to cheer the heart of any coach," Rockne later admitted. "Once in the open field, he was most dangerous of the four horsemen. I would have to call him the greatest open field runner I had ever had." Don Miller had a unique high-stepping gait where his knees rose higher than the normal rusher and made it very difficult for defenders to tackle him. For one season of 1924, Miller averaged 7.1 yards per carry, and over his three-year career, Miller rushed for a 6.0 yard average per carry. Miller was also the leading Notre Dame receiver in each of his three varsity seasons as well as a football All-American selection in 1923. The National Football Foundation selected Don Miller for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1970, and that's what I'm talking about. Patience and hard work can get you to your goals, even when everybody's against you and tells you you can't get there. You know, Don Miller is definitely an example of that for anybody that's ever been told you can't do something. March 29th, 1906, Marion, South Dakota. The University of Kansas' outstanding halfback in the late 1920s, Jim Bosch, was born. The Football Foundation's website says that Bosch was a world-class athlete who was a decathlon champion in the 1932 Los Angeles Olympic Games and the winner of that year's Sullivan Award. Jim transferred from Wichita University to Kansas, angering the Wheat Shocker fans and officials who accused the Jayhawks of tampering and stealing their star player. Bosch led Kansas to its first Big Six championship in 1930. He was a gamer too, as shown in the 1930 game against Kansas State when he returned the opening kickoff 95 yards for a touchdown and then added a 60-yard scoring run in the fourth quarter for a 14-0 Kansas victory. March 29, 1925, Emlyn Tunnell was the NFL safety who played both for the Giants and the Packers teams, was born in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. The Pro Football Hall of Fame tells us that Emlyn was known as the Giants' offense on defense. Tunnell entered pro football as a free agent in 1948 after having spent time at the University of Toledo and Iowa, as well as time in the Coast Guard. He broke his neck at Toledo, and thus neither the Army or the Navy would accept him into their ranks because of the severity of the injury. However, the Coast Guard did employ him as an EM, so he was able to fulfill his angst to serve his country during wartime. After his service to his country, Emlyn returned to Iowa and played some more football. Most teams thought Tunnell would be playing a third season with the Hawkeyes, so nobody drafted the defender in the 1948 NFL draft. Therefore, Emlyn went to the New York Giants and asked to join the team as a free agent. He played safety at the top of a 4-1-2 umbrella defense, where Emlyn intercepted a then-record 79 passes in his 14 seasons with the Giants and with the Green Bay Packers. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Emlyn Tunnell in 1967. March 29, 1955, Earl Campbell, the powerful back of the Texas Longhorns from 1974 through 1977, was born. His nickname forever ties him to his hometown of Tyler, Texas, as Earl is still called the Tyler Rose, as he pounded out big games for the University of Texas. The NFF says he rushed for 4,443 yards, and it was the fifth highest total of all time when he retired. His rushing covered 928 yards as a freshman, 1,118 as a sophomore, 653 as a junior, because he did miss four games that year, and 1,744 as a senior. Campbell was an All-American as a sophomore and a senior, and led the nation in rushing and scoring, and won the Heisman Trophy in 1977. He had an amazing 21 times where he went over the 100-yard mark, and three of more than 200 yards rushing in games during college. The Houston Oilers, during the 1978 NFL draft, wasted no time turning in their pick card for the first player selected to the commissioner with that name of Earl Campbell on it. Earl played eight seasons with the Oilers and earned the rushing title, a distinction of an All-Pro, and was selected to play in three Pro Bowls. The 1980 season was his best, as he pounded out 1,934 yards with four games over 200 yards. And his NFL career, he amassed 9,407 yards rushing, 74 touchdowns, and another 806 yards by 121 receptions. That is just a remarkable career of a great football player. And the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Earl Campbell in 1991. And I told you earlier, this guy had thighs like tree trunks. It was just an amazing thing. He was just so muscular and so bottom heavy and shifty and powerful. Just a great back. And we're sorry to see that he's having so many health problems now in his older years, probably some of it from the pounding he took. But what a great running back, and a guy that would just run over defenders rather than try to run around them, because the big Tyler Rose, Earl Campbell, great football legend in both college and the pro game. And if you ever get to see some old YouTube videos of the Tyler Rose running, you got to check it out, because he was just sensational. And like I said, I got to watch him play in person in his rookie year, and he had a great game that day too. So we hope that you'll join us tomorrow for the March 30th Football History Headlines. And also today we have a bonus edition of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, where we have our Football by Numbers series coming out. And today is the 23s, with just me doing a solo on that. We'll have the greatest number 23s jersey wearers in NFL history. So we hope you'll join us for that too. Also, make sure you check out sportshistorynetwork.com to see all the great podcasts on sports history there, with all of our friends. And many of them come on this program to talk with the Football by Numbers and some of our other podcasts that we do. So make sure you check them out and support them. They have some great, great talents over there. So till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.